Okay. Like I said before, good evening, everybody. Maura is here to talk to us today. The title of our talk today is how to help our teens become more courageous and speak out. So thank you, Maura, for being here with us tonight, and go ahead, take it away. You need to unmute yourself, though.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you all. It's hard to believe it's March, and I can't believe it's the second last of this series. So there you go. The year has flown. And it's great to see that some of the girls are making their way back to school, which is exciting. So please God, that'll roll out. So this topic is one I'm sure many of you could probably write a book on, because having meaningful conversations, having difficult conversations, speaking out is something, it's definitely a skill, and it's an art. And I think as caring adults for our teens, it behoves us to teach them the art, because wherever you human beings, we need conversation. If there's no conversation, there's no connection, there's no communication, there's no sense of belonging, there's no friendship. There's no learning. We've seen that in COVID, haven't we? Our conversations have been so limited. Our interactions have been so limited. So, and this, of course, is a topic which our teens find even harder, for reasons we've talked about before, which is the fact of social media, and the fact that, you know, tech has compromised that so much. They're not, you might say, forced to converse in the same way as you or I would have been when we were their age. So it's more challenging for them, and they do need more mentoring in it. They need to see it sort of practiced or done and modeled really in our lives too. The bibliography for this talk there's a great book called Having Meaningful Conversations, which I'll put up on the resources on the school website. And the other one is Thanks for the Feedback. Which sounds slightly different, but it's a great book. A lot of problems in this world, I think this is a Buddhist phrase, it's from Confucius, but a lot of problems in this world could be solved if we talked to each other instead of talked about each other. And it's such a truism, isn't it? And so often we talk about each other because we're stressed, we're nervous, we're fearful, we care. You know, we really care about a relationship, so we rant or we say things we wish we'd unsaid or whatever. And our teens are absolutely no different. Recent studies, which again, I'm sure many of you are familiar with, from Performance Coaching International, they did a study of something like 750 managers in the private and the public sector. And something like 70% of them admitted that they didn't have difficult conversations. For two reasons. One was, and very simple, fear. What if this goes wrong? And I don't know how to do it. How can I do this best? I'm not up to this. And you can understand why. We can understand ourselves. We have busy lives. It takes time to prepare for a meaningful conversation. So I think it's always good to start with the positive. This isn't always about difficult conversations or hard conversations or ones we'd rather not have, but also the power of conversation. You know, meaningful conversations are making the time for a friendship, to build it, to grow it. They bring comfort, consolation. We get to air issues. We get to, you know, to get a sounding board on things from a good friend or a family member. We have to inform ourselves in our decision making, you know, something like talking to somebody who sees things very differently. Maybe it's your other half at home and you go, well, I wouldn't have done it that way, or a work situation. Creating new ideas, you know, deepening connections, and then obviously changing how we think about things. You know, it's really wonderful if we come away from a conversation going, wow, I would never have seen it that way. And that's a world that our teens don't really know, you know, because guess what? In friendships, if we were to reflect back on our teenage friendships, a lot of our friends would be like us. You know, we find comfort in that. Whereas sometimes people we don't really relate to, they tend to not get into our immediate circle. And if they do, well done. Your team is doing a great job, because that's great courage and that shows great, you know, whatever, creativity. So speaking out or big conversations, as I said, isn't just all about a negative. It's a game changer. It's the beginning of something. And I think that's, again, for us as adults, to give our teens perspective on things, because oftentimes the big conversations come when they've hit a wall in a relationship or something's happened or they're upset and something's come to a head and they're thinking this is they feel they don't want to have the conversation because they feel that what they're going to lose by having it, things are only going to get worse, so they'd rather be silent. Whereas we're trying to help them to see, look, conversation is often an unblocker, and you're in charge of a conversation. You are, you know, and we have to teach them the tools of how to be in charge of the conversation. It's an opportunity to create new direction. It's an opportunity to create something new. And again, I think it's putting it in a positive setting. You know, I see it in school all the time with, say, the student council, or, you know, teens coming, oh, miss, why can't we do this or whatever. You know, teens have a great contribution to make because they see things uniquely. And so often they just want to blend in. You know, they can find solutions to problems that us as adults just don't seem, we have blinkers on, and they find solutions. They can think outside the box, many of them. And we need to encourage them to be proactive, because isn't it true, as we go on in life, we tend to avoid things. Whereas if we can help them to step into the discomfort of a, you know, a challenging conversation, well, that's really great. And to help them to have the energy and the insight that they need to bring to it. So I suppose the situations as adults where it comes up often is when there's a discomfort, you know, I don't know how to say this, or there's been a falling out with a friend, or somebody said something or whatever. And in those kind of situations, typically we need to obviously encourage them to get in there and to speak out. It can look very differently, speaking out, depending on the situation. And I think for some, it's the first step is to help them as caring adults to unblock their emotions. Because emotions are a powerful tool, as we looked at in our previous building leadership talks. And sometimes our teens don't even realize that they're there, and they don't even realize what they signify. And they're getting really worked up over it and really upset. And there can be a lot of negative self-talk or self-blaming going on and labeling. And they just need to be able to just unplug, to release the balloon a bit, and to explore a little bit, you know, explore. And this is what it's all about. Explore where there's the emotion, where's the, you know, the feeling, where's the belief? I don't think she likes me. She said that, you know, where's the fact? Where's the observation? And where's the judgment? Where's the interpretation? And I suppose the other thing I suppose to be aware of, as you are very aware, is that with some teams, you may not know this is all going on because they're like a volcano that has not erupted. And there's a little, you know, and it just depends on your team, you know. Some it's the, you know, you can see it. They're upset, you know, they're, you know, lashing out at a sibling, you know, they're getting cranky or defensive, or everything's wrong, nobody's right, I'm right. Or other teens, it's to go quiet, they go more introverted. That's more what they do. With other teens, it's a case of, you could probably write a book on that one yourself. And we've talked about that before. With others, they may not even know what's happening, you know, and sometimes it's because we notice the signs and because we know them well. They don't make the connections between the processes that are going on in their brains, the intellect, you know, as we know, the frontal cortex, the emotions, how they feel, the amygdala, and the physical. Sometimes even just the fact that, you know, I've got a headache, a pain in my tummy, you know, those little stress symbols that we see in teens, you know, pulling back, you know, disengagement, whatever it is, that can be just indicative that something's going wrong. And if your teen is a good actress, there could be an awful lot of fine, great, no problem, whatever. And you may not know until a lot later. So mentoring them in meaningful conversations, as I said, is by giving them the tools. What a conversation is and what it isn't. It was good to go back to the Latin roots of things. So conversare comes from the Latin of turning together. Okay, so it's a meeting. Okay, so there's nothing prescribed about it. Okay, and we've talked at length about the dance, you know, the fact that when, you know, those of you who are really great dancers know if your dancing partner is not as good as you, and it's a bit of a hilarity. But the point about it is you never really know where it's going to go. And I suppose it's that whole thing of helping our teens to see stepping into discomfort is life, and it's good they get used to it. Okay, it's really good. And so there is, it depends on both parties, and you don't know what the other person is going to bring to the table. And you can prescribe that, and you'd hope many great things will come to the table. Conversation skills can be learned, you know, and the best conversation is inquiry, which is the listening part, isn't it? And then the what I feel or what I think or what I might, the opinion part. And there's a healthy ratio there. There's the positivity 6 times more than the negativity, and that can be really hard if it's a negative conversation. So it might come down a little bit. And then focusing on the self and focusing on other. Because of course, as human beings, we tend to focus, particularly when we're stressed, when we're upset, we're tired, we tend to see, well, this is what's wrong with me and I really want to get rid of it. Whereas there's another person there. And we need to particularly help our teens, because there is the tendency to focus on, you know, the belly button, and to, you know, that's the way, that's teenage, the sort of the self-focus is part of what it is being a teen and growing into an adult. So they won't necessarily get that straight off. As a reminder, I suppose we know the technology impact on conversation. It's harder to build trust because they're missing the social cues on text, Snapchat, whatever. Less likely to be honest, you know, we can hide behind a text, we can hide behind a post, we can have radio silence, we can turn the camera off, whatever it is, we can step away very, very easily. It's easier to disengage, and misunderstandings are much more likely because of the delay in communication, even though it's instantaneous, you can pretend you didn't see that message, you didn't see that post, whatever it is. And of course, the fact is you can't unsay what's being said, which of course they don't often realize to the detriment. Emojis don't really cut it. You know, you can put up as many sad faces or LOLs, but we all just, there's a moment where we all just need to talk, okay? And that's something we need to have our teens with. I won't, I suppose, depending on your teen, if she's an introvert or she's an extrovert, she'll love a conversation if she's an extrovert because she wants to get it talked about, she wants to get it sorted, she wants to get it done. If she's an introvert, threat all over. I don't want to talk about it. I need to step away. I need to think about what I feel. There's a sensitivity there about picking up on social cues, which the extrovert mightn't even be aware of. So it's knowing, you know, whether it's, you know, maybe you're trying to help this at home with siblings, or maybe it's her friend in school. If you have a sense of, look, she's an extrovert and my daughter's an introvert, well, you need to help her to go, look, she doesn't see it the way you do, and she's not a bad person. It's just because she's different. And of course, that's preparing her for the workplace, for future relationships, for everything. So it's a long-term vision here that's really important. Harnessing weaknesses is an interesting one. And I think because, you know, oftentimes, you know, our teens don't want to have the conversations. And oftentimes it's because they're fearful because, you know, I'll just give an example. Maybe your teen feels, I'm oversensitive, I'm impatient, and I overcook things, and I'm always told in school that I take on people's problems, okay? And they see that as a negative, okay? How to help them see a negative as a weakness, as a strength, okay? So in that case, if I'm oversensitive, well, you always fight for the underdog. That's great. You pick up on things. You notice people. Isn't that lovely? You know, you're caring, you're empathic. It's a wonderful thing to have. I'm impatient. Well, you're trying to get things done, maybe. That's not a problem, you know. You're an idealist, but not everybody goes at the same pace, you know. And sometimes if we don't take the longer route, we'll end up burning things and burning ourselves. I take on too much with people. Well, maybe you've a lot of meaningful relationships there, you know. So helping them to leverage this, once they've moved from a weakness to a strength, how can they leverage that, you know. And I suppose helping them stand up for themselves with calmness and clarity. That's a big challenge, okay? Standing up for yourself isn't being belligerent. It's not being aggressive. But so it takes practice, you know, calmness and clarity. Well, we need to talk them through, what does that look like? How do you express that? And we look at that in a moment. But choosing the right time to have the conversation with a sibling or a classmate, you know, not when you're both upset, not as you're just leaving, not as you're going between classes and you have 2 minutes, you know, location, the atmosphere, all of these things are important. And pacing yourself, and this will come up quite a bit, you know, that the conversation is the beginning. It's not, it's a start, it's just, you're getting off the blocks. Often our teens want to have the conversation, have clarity, and be done with it. Whereas we're trying to help them to see, this is the beginning of the conversation. You won't achieve all the things you hope to achieve. Really, really important, you know. And it's not what we say. So it's that whole thing of helping them to see is, it's how we say it. You know, how do you engage with somebody is, well, how, listening not on my terms, you know. We all see reality differently. Letting go of control, you know, that not, it won't, there's certain things maybe you hope to achieve, there's certain things that won't happen. And what's below the belt? You know, what's the stuff you really don't want? The untalkables, the elephant in the room that may not happen. Are you okay with that? You know? Opening ourselves and also realizing that you're going to learn from the other person, you know? That's why films are great, or examples you can give them, or, you know, even helping our teens reflect on the last time they did something like this. Maybe it was in primary school, you know, and they said something to a peer and it worked, or they stepped into a space of discomfort and it worked. Helping them to realize, well, why did that work? You know, you talked to that teacher about a subject you're finding hard. You faced the bad result in a test and you set yourself down. You had a sort of, you had a game plan, 1, 2, and 3, and you followed it through. Well, this is the same. You need to have a game plan, 1, 2, and 3, and follow through on it. And how am I? You know, opening yourself up is obviously a difficult one because it's sharing what we feel and think, not hiding behind a mask, but also fear of not getting hurt, you know. Oftentimes, you know, when you ask, you're talking to teens about talking about things they don't want to talk about or having the big conversation, they'll say something like, I can't talk about it, you know, the fear of confrontation, you know, or I don't know how to do it, or I can't decide what to do, or I don't want to hurt her feelings, or I don't know what to say. I'm right and she's wrong, okay? We can identify all that in our own adult behavior. But these are things we need to help our teens to face, you know? So this is 7 shifts, I suppose, in a conversation, okay? I've mentioned some of them, but anyway. And I think feel free to take the ones that you think will work best for your teen, ones that won't, okay? Because everyone's different and we all do it differently. And you as parents do it differently. I suppose the first thing is really helping our teens to call up the courage. Okay, so, you know, the famous Nelson Mandela quote, I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. So courage is, and helping them to go, you're being really courageous here, and reminding them of that. That's really the important step, not to avoid tough subjects. So when were you courageous before? You know, what did you do? You know, what steps did you take? And mom and dad giving the support there, you know? And sometimes for the introvert, she needs to write a letter. You know, I'm feeling upset because of this, this, and this. You know, it's really, and that helps her sometimes to unblock the emotions, to connect the emotions with the vents. You know, oh, I'm upset because of this. You know, because sometimes they can say, I'm upset because so-and-so did this. And you realize, not that, there's something really boiling underneath, simmering there. So, and that's really helpful. Name your fear. Now, what's the worst thing that could happen? Like a lot of people don't have conversations, as we said, because they're fearful. What are you fearful of? You know, is it that you're going to be rejected? You're going to lose your friend? You know, is it guilt? You know, you feel you should have stood up for that friend in that class conversation and you didn't. Okay, well, there's nothing that's undoable. It's a beautiful world called sorry. And we need to use it frequently because we're human beings and we make mistakes. And when you say sorry and you admit, you're telling your friend that you're bigger than the mistake and that the friendship is worth far more than anything that's happened. And you're also giving her the permission to say sorry as well, the things which she will do in the future because she's human like you. So it's helping our teens not just to deal with here a difficult conversation that they want to have with somebody who's hurt them, but also things where they feel they've let somebody down. So a fear of getting it wrong, you know, of course, and this is, and the need to communicate. I think it's really important to encourage your teens to communicate because this is Carl Jung, the professor, says that what we resist persists. So if we're resisting a conversation, if we're not having it, the old Irish adage, you're putting it under the carpet, you're burying your head in the sand, and it's going to come back. and it's going to get more ingrained. So weighing it up, sometimes do a little risk benefits chart with your team. You know, and you say, okay, what are the trade-offs here? Okay, sometimes make it that pragmatic, you know. So if I have this conversation, what are the risks? I'm naming them all. She's not going to talk to me. I'm going to get overheated, I'm going to say something I didn't mean. Maybe I'm going to get hurt. Biggest fear of getting hurt, and I'm not sure how I can deal with that. And the benefits. I'm going to say what I feel. I'm giving her the benefit of saying what she feels. I'm finding out things I potentially don't know. I'm salvaging a friendship, a relationship. I'm telling her I care. I'm doing the right thing. We can't control so much of our life. You know, this little pandemic has taught us that. We can't control pretty much most things. But we can control what we do. And we can live according to our core values. And I suppose we live in a world of virtue signaling, and our teams are breathing it in. And we need to help them to act out, to practice the virtues, the core values that we know they believe. So loyalty, honesty, kindness, resilience, you know. These are great opportunities to say, well, look, you, and helping them see that you were really resilient there. You got up early, you did this, finding options, you know, examples to give them, because sometimes it's all very black and white for them. And they feel, well, I can't possibly do that because I'm not the type of person who does this. I'm not a good debater. As if having the conversations is about being able to talk and debate in public. So the best conversations are had by people who are the very introverts, because the sensitivity is there. Let your heart speak. You know, and that's where having the conversation with our team is going, well, you value this friendship, you know, and they forget. When we get emotionally sort of blocked, we forget. Do you remember the time remember the Halloween party you had? Do you remember the time you had such a laugh in school? Do you remember the time she bailed you out? Do you remember the sports day? Do you remember? We have to remind them you care about it. You feel hurt, that's natural. But you can't let the hurt you're feeling right now cloud everything you've experienced in this friendship. Then this idea of creating a container, okay, this is I suppose it's helping them to, this is really the same idea here, calling up the courage, helping them to call upon their core values, you know. Our teams are very idealistic, you know, I don't know any of them that aren't. They're things they believe in, they're things they'll fight for, things they care about. So I think it's there when we're helping them, well, your loyalty will drive you to do this, your kindness will drive you to do this, etc. And then deciding what not to say. Because sometimes our teams have a great sense of justice, which I think is tremendous. I think it's wonderful. But justice doesn't mean you need to say every single thing you think, or honesty, okay? You don't need to say everything you think, because, and your team could be right. You could say, Mom, she did wrong. She was wrong in what she did there. She was blatantly disloyal. You know, she was gossiping, and I know that for a fact. And you go, okay, fine, maybe, how do you know? You just double click on, how do you know through a fact? Because it can be, she said this, and I'm not really sure about that. But let me think for a moment. Okay, we're not going to go there. But what do we know? What do we know that you can say? I didn't mean to hurt you. That's a fact, you know? And that's a great conversation opener. You're hurt, and I didn't mean to do that. And it hurts me to see you hurt. And it's, as you know, if anybody said that to you or me, you know, we probably admit certain things that we probably feel a little bit dubious about, or a little bit maybe less than proud about. You can't take the blame for somebody else's wrongdoing, and that our teams need to know that. You don't do that. You know, there is a course here. You can say, I value our friendship. I really value it and I don't want to lose it. So you're helping them to negotiate that space, not being untruthful. It's not an all or nothing approach. And then asking questions. How did you feel about that conversation? You know, and helping our teams to pause the button there. You don't need to let it all out, like say everything you feel out. You're helping her to go, well, how did you feel? How have you been these last few weeks we haven't been talking? I felt so scared. I felt so bad after that. I didn't know what to do. Okay. And before you know it, they probably give each other a hug and not even want to have the big conversation, which needs to be had. They need to talk through it. Discern what needs to be said. You know, and our teams need to feel that what they say feels complete. You know, it's not a hard, they need to say hard truths. And we need to help them say them in a way. You know, sometimes we used to play devil's advocate. Role play is great. And now a bunch of teams who role play things all the time. They go, okay, you pretend now. I'm coming into the room now. There's a lot of laughing, a lot of giggling. If I said that, and they say, no, I'm sorry, that sounds really mean. How do you know that? You kind of stress test it with them a bit. And it helps them, you know. What's the atmosphere do they want in the conversation? Warm, kind, what location, what timing? And how do they listen? Listen deeply. And so often they just want to get off the blocks and say what needs to be said and then run away, you know. Whereas we need to help them to go, look, you don't achieve everything in one conversation. It's a starting point. And you wouldn't want to either. Okay. So you may need to say half of what you want to say and be happy with that. What half would you be happy with? And then have a good, and then, you know, chat again. And, you know, when you've both had a chance to reflect on it, there'll be other things that'll come to the fore and other things you want to talk about. And that's helping your team to grow into that space of maturity. Okay. Intending the message that you send. You know, we need our teams to attend. What message does she intend to send? You know, talking about what you really want to and taking the pieces out that aren't helpful. You don't want to send a message of anger. You don't want to send a message of resentment. You don't want to send a message of whatever. Focus on what you do want out of the conversation. Keep coming back to that, the benefits. And also the gut feeling, because oftentimes they want to pull back and go, I don't want to have this conversation, Mom. I have, you know, I'm really stressed about it. And you have to go, well, don't you want, yeah, bringing them back to the core values. You know, don't you want this friendship? Don't you? You're honest, you're loyal. And that's how we embed in the girls. There's no way valuing them. And that's it. And then helping them to find their opening, you know, stepping into that other person's shoes. You know, what do you value about her? You know, what are the values, the core values you value about her? She might say, well, she's great fun. Okay. You know, she's really kind about her, not calculating. Okay. And of course, that's a classic case of, say, an introvert than an extrovert. You know, the extrovert will lash into things with great gusto. Come on, I'll help you do your maths. Come on, let's do this. Give them courage. No, you need to enroll in that. You need to get involved. You need to be our class prefect. Come on, you're great. But then they won't notice the standing on the toes, might bail out of being loyal, whatever it is. You know, you don't get all the great values. You get some of them. And they need to, and your teen is there to help her friend to realize, you know, you have limitations and I can show you how, you know, this is where you need to man up a little bit, and etc. So connecting with respect, and that's where I suppose sometimes the emotions can take over, you know, and helping our team to acknowledge where are their emotions? Is it anger? Is it just deep hurt? Is it resentment? Is it fear? What is it there? Because those things will, because of the amygdala, those things will tend to come to the fore. And we're trying to help our team to always have, you know, to ratchet down the negative language. So instead of, I was so angry, I was so upset, I was so disgusted, you know, using the language of, you know, well, I was just really, okay, this may sound really like a boardroom, but I was deeply concerned. That's probably not very teen-like, but trying to find words that are less, look, I was a bit upset. Let's bring it down a little bit, because we know ourselves, if we're at the receiving end of very strong emotion, it engulfs us. And we can't move beyond it. And we just want to get out of jail card. Camera shuts down. The internet connection is bad, whatever. So, and I wouldn't encourage these conversations online, obviously. Well, obviously it's better face to face, but you know ourselves. So we have to help them to see the impact of that emotion that they would have. So trying to neutralize that negativity, you know, and how they can neutralize it, of course, is in the conversation. If, of course, they're realizing, you know, the triggers are happening, they're kind of feeling, you know, the sweaty palms, whatever it is, tightening the stomach, whatever it is, they're feeling almost like crying. It's kind of like, how can they put pause button? Well, bring in the questions there, you know, or I listen, how do you feel? Or I'm doing all the talking here. Or listen, yeah, I agree. I really felt really badly about that. And guess what I did after the conversation? I went home and I just watched, you know, that really stupid Netflix series that we laugh at all the time, or whatever it is, that could just introduce a normality into the conversation. And I, you know, finding, helping them to find points of sort of commonality or agreement or whatever it is, and that help them just to neutralize a negative, negative emotion for a moment. Giving your teams the confidence to speak the truth. And I know I keep saying this, but it's hard to have the confidence to do it because it's so unusual. Okay. And here, I suppose, practicing the conversation to say the hard truths and helping them to say, no, helping your team not to back away. You know, you need to help her with that. But how would we say it differently? You know, to help her to be honest maybe about what she's avoiding, reminding her, look, you don't have the whole truth here. So that's you're expressing a feeling there, but you're making a judgment. You said this, or, you know, well, maybe she didn't say it, or you meant that, or maybe she didn't mean it. You know, and here I think is a really important one, which you've talked about before, because it's very much Martin Seligman, the whole thing of learned optimism. But okay, is that a fact? You know, do you know that for a fact? And of course, there's a lot of kind of, well, so-and-so said that she said, and she said this in the bathroom, and then she did this. Well, there's a lot of, you're not really sure, God, that sounds like an awful Chinese whisper. Is that really factual? You know, do we really want to go down that route? You know, so, okay, well, let's, factual, this was said to your face, and this was said, and that happened. And then how you felt, if I felt this, and I don't know how you felt, you know, that's how you feel, that's also relative. Belief, what you believe about it, you know, just because this happened doesn't mean she doesn't want to be your friend. It doesn't mean that she's, you know, is blatantly, is a disloyal person. Maybe what happened there is potentially could be interpreted as disloyal, but doesn't mean she actually is proud about what she's done. Observation is a help. Look, this, it seemed to me this is what happened, but maybe there's another take on this, or maybe something else happened, or maybe you just froze, because I know you don't find it easy to talk about stuff. Lots of get out of jail cards for the friend, and to be able to go, yeah, no, I did bail there, and you're right, I'm not as strong as you. And then judgment, because judgment is always worth deferring. Because judgment, you need the full facts, and you also need the other person's side of the story. So helping our team to rehearse the conversation, and helping them to be the other person, the role model, to say, how would you feel about that now if you said that? And if we can, I know it's complex, and I know it's highly emotional space for a teen and painful. Try to bring a little bit of humor if you can there, you know, and even share some of our examples as adults. You know, I had a conversation once, it was a disaster, or whatever it is. So they realize it's a game changer, this conversation, but it's not the beginning or the end of the world. Those things are outside our control. I think the whole thing is surrendering their story, you know, and again, it's that thing of helping them. It takes courage to speak. It takes strength to tell your story, to detach from the drama, helping them again. What's the worst case scenario here? Expectations. Are you okay? How would you manage that if that happens? You know, if she gets really, really upset and she can't talk, how can your team go, look, I'm sorry you feel so upset. Maybe we'll have this conversation again. You know, create a link for another conversation. You don't want it to be a worse experience than something else. Okay. Intentions, you know, what are you really hoping for here? Okay, well, maybe all 9 intentions won't happen, you know, 9 outcomes, but let's go for 2. If you got 2, that would be really successful. So in the back of her mind, she's thinking, I have two outcomes. That's great. It's giving her the energy to go, this is a really good conversation. I'm so glad I did it. And then, of course, acceptance. You know, our teens think they can control everything, and they can't. Nobody can. So helping them to be comfortable with the fact that you can't control what she's going to say. You can't control what she feels. But giving her reasons to have the conversation, because you need to do the right thing, because you care, because you're a good person, because these are your values, okay? And you love her, and she's your friend. And what I've seen of her, she's a lot of good qualities too. So only good can come from this. And if bad comes from it, well, we can always also manage that as well. So, but also helping her to work through what she can't control, and so don't try to control it. You know, it's not for you to control that, you know. Courage, as C.S. Lewis said, is not just one of the virtues, but it's the form of every virtue at its testing point. So we're teaching our girls in all of this how to be courageous, and they're going to need courage a busload for everything in life. And it's great, because courage means they're going to have a great adventure in life. They're not going to shy away from things that potentially look negative, what could be fantastic things, like setting up a company, doing something crazy, reaching out to somebody who really needs it, or whatever it is. Finding closure. Make the conversation the start of a new beginning. I've said this a few times, so not the whole story. Celebrate with your team the fact the conversation was had and you're very proud of it. We can't say that enough, because it's hard to do the right thing. It's always hard to do the right thing. And sometimes if other people aren't doing it, it's even harder. And so what you're reminding her of, this is what leadership looks like. You're being a real leader because you're stepping out of your comfort zone. You're going into a space of feeling lonely and you're doing it. And that's what leaders do. They go ahead and they tell them, they ask others if they want to follow. Helping them to reflect on new things they've learned. You know, what did she say? You know, and in your mind, as a caring adult, we need to think about, okay, so, oh, wow, so she was really upset. You're double-clicking on, imagine, she also felt upset. Double-clicking on, okay, so she really wanted to reach out to you, but she didn't know how. Okay, well, that's lovely. But aren't you courageous? You've done it. And she knows now that what you appreciate is reaching out. You know, it's really interesting with teens. Some teens, when they get hurt, they just want to retreat to a bunker and never come out again. Other teens just want to go at it. Okay. And sometimes the team who wants to go at it just thinks it's disgraceful that this friend of mine hasn't reached out to me. Or maybe she's the introvert who's just suffering so much she can't come out. So it's, and they find that in the workplace all the time. You know, somebody needs to know, well, just because you don't want to come out of your bunker, somebody else needs to come out. So it's just knowing where they need to find the middle ground. So different point of view. You know, how did your friend see that situation? Was it different? Oh, so she felt it was different. Wow. So we've learned something here. That's interesting. Really, really good. Acknowledge your humanity. You know, look, isn't that, you cared for her. You needed to talk. You know, and also they need to do that with the closure in the end. Thank you for giving. Thank you for talking. You know, I really needed to talk to you. You're encouraging your team to express how she feels and what she cares about. And thank you for the conversation. It really helped me. And of course, again, I can't emphasize enough how to help them to dial down on the negative language and also dial down on, I suppose, just not to get emotionally hijacked, because, of course, that's the biggest challenge in this, isn't it? And to pace themselves and all of that. I can't emphasize how much good we do for our teens. And I know it takes time. It is mentoring. We're mentoring them in this. It takes time to do this. It takes observation skills on our part as caring adults. It takes time sometimes to ask them, particularly if they're a teen who doesn't, who's you know, a philosophical type, who's, you know, who doesn't notice, you know. Sometimes we need to help them to notice things in their peers, you know. And asking them, you know, there's always stuff going on. There's always conversations, always things happening in the class or among their peer group, which are delightful, encouraging, amazing, and equally not delightful, not encouraging, not amazing. So it's good for us as adults to be in there and go, oh, really? Because they won't necessarily tell us all. They sometimes shut certain things down because they do avoidance, you know. They don't talk about what they find uncomfortable. And that's where as adults we need to go, listen, and you don't talk about her so much. What happened? And they don't necessarily want to talk about first time off. So second time off, or whatever it is. And that way it's sort of helping them to face things. And through facing that, then it's a case of, okay, and you need to talk to her about it. And no, mom, we don't, you know, teens don't do that anymore. You know, dad, you know, that's what you did. Like, we don't do that, you know, it's not done. So it's a case of, oh, really, whatever. But anyway, encouraging that sort of, and then helping them to walk through the conversation. It's a long process, longer or shorter, depending on your team. But I can't emphasize how valuable it is. And it's not, I think for us as adults, is to zoom out of the individual situation when we're putting the time into this to realize what you're building in your team. You're building proactivity. You're building engagement. You're building courage. You're embedding her core values. You're building her ability to reach out to others. Okay, and it's all about relationships. All about relationships. Her whole life is all about relationships. So she can learn this as a team. She's embedding this as a way, as behavior. And that is something really powerful. And what she'll start doing is onboarding other teams to do the same thing, because she's learned herself. And it's not a one-off, it's again and again, and trying to introduce the humor in it too, and et cetera. Anyway, that's all I have to say on the topic. I hope that was helpful. I'll put up the bibliography, as I said, on the website. And I don't know if anybody's any, I'm sure many of you have tons of things you could share, or questions or thoughts or whatever. And that's always the most interesting part for me. So we'd be delighted if people wanted to jump in there.